Hey, kids.
You're listening to the internet's wettest podcast about video games, consoles,
and pancakes.
The SML Podcast.
What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. Joining as usual, we've got Aki and Bree. How are you two doing?
I'm doing great now that my air conditioning is finally fixed after like a month of being broken. Yeah, it's like 75 degrees in here, and it is lovely. It's weirdly quiet. I can't even, like, my house is too quiet without all the fans and the air conditioner portables blowing, and it's crazy.
And look who shows up a minute late.
Yo, all right, there is a reason why I was a minute late. I was missing my dongle.
Again?
Again.
Just you motherfucker.
How many dongles have you fucking lost at this point? Jesus
Christ. No. Like, we found it again. Because my wife...
And then lost it again.
Yeah, and then she borrows it again.
This is why they shouldn't make them detachable.
Yeah, because idiots detach them.
Yeah, I mean, how can you get into pegging without detachable dongles?
Are we going to have to, like, get you a leash so you could strap it to your wrist?
A strap-on dongle?
Yeah.
See? He's used to that.
He is.
I mean, the easiest would just be, like, to buy, like, Apple headset, if that's a thing, so... Joe, if you could pony up, like, I think they cost like $600.
Yeah, good fucking luck. Speaking of things costing a lot.
Which one are we going to talk about?
Well, the big news of the week, we talked about it briefly on the previous episode, but we're going to go into it in depth right now. Xbox Game Pass is going up in price. Bree, give us the details. Woo.
Yeah, so... To break this down, they're going to be raising Game Pass Ultimate to $19.99 a month. It'll stay the same way. You'll get all your EA Play, you'll get your day one games, your cloud gaming, your PC and console games, perks, multiplayer, all the things. But it's going up in price. But there's more. They're adding a new tier. It's called Standard. Game Pass Standard. And it is... $14.99. It'll have no day one games, no EA Play, no PC, just a console option for Game Pass Standard. Still comes with hundreds of games. You'll have your multiplayer, your Game Pass discounts, and that will be starting in the next couple months because they are phasing out Game Pass for console.
Yep.
If you are an existing subscriber, keep your auto renew on. You can still use codes for the time being, but you cannot stack more than 13 months at a time to be able to keep advantage of that deal, which is currently $10.99. PC Game Pass will be staying the same, and Game Pass Core will be staying the same, except that they'll be raising the annual price to $75.
Yeah.
So they're getting rid of Game Pass Console.
Yes.
In order to make Game Pass...
Yes. Standard.
Standard, which is just Game Pass Console by another dumb fuck name.
No, because it includes online play.
Yeah.
But it does not include day one releases.
Yeah, and the official word on the day one releases is that if you are in a subscriber tier that does not have day one releases like Core or Standard, it could be upwards of 12 months or more. And will vary by title how long it takes before you'll have access to it through Game Pass.
Yeah,
this is just really fucking dumb.
Yeah, this entire thing is stupid. Isn't that the more expensive version? Like, isn't that the one? Isn't that in PC the same price, which is in between Core and Ultimate?
Well, basically, Game Pass Standard is now the price that we used to be paying for Ultimate.
And how much is Core increasing? So much.
Core is increasing its yearly price from $60 to $75, but it'll still be $9.99 a month for Core.
So does Core get all the games?
No,
they have a select collection of games with online multiplayer. No day one games, just a small collection of games for Game Pass.
Yeah.
Okay, so they're
basically Xbox
just making it worse. Okay.
Yeah.
They're making it worse and making it cost more. Cool.
Core isn't really changing.
Right. Yeah, core isn't really changing. But if you want to play Sea of Thieves and say you own the game, you still need to have access to the live, which you need to have a minimum of Game Pass Core to be able to play. You get to talk to your friends through Xbox Live and all of those things. But you, at the very core, you need Core for that. I know, right? But Ultimate, you get all the bells and whistles. Standard, you get some of the bells and whistles.
I want to say it's good that all three tiers include online play now.
Yes.
Because that was confusing as shit when you would tell people, this has online play, this one doesn't, but it has games, this one has both.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, well, what's the point of that one if it doesn't have the online play?
And if you have Game Pass Standard now, and you are thinking that you're going to get Indiana Jones and the Great Circle on day one, you're probably going to find yourself disappointed.
Yep. Same with Call of Duty.
Yep.
Especially Call of Duty.
I'm just annoyed because they're getting rid of the console and turning it to Standard, and that's just making it worse and increasing the price.
Well, what? You can lock yourself in with codes for up to 13 months and kind of keep doing that dance for a while to keep it the console if that's the tier that you're on. They actually ended new membership immediately as of the announcement the other day. So
I just don't understand that choice. Hey, you know you're subscribed to this thing? Well, hey, we're increasing the price and making it suck ass. Have fun!
Well, if you're subscribed to something, it's not changing. Mm-hmm. If you're already a Game Pass console subscriber, you have auto renew, you stay at Game Pass console. This is just new subscribers have to go with Standard.
Yes. Or Core.
Yeah. Or Ultimate.
Yeah.
This just still sounds like a really stupid move, but I don't understand the purpose of them doing it. Makes Xbox and Microsoft look fucking bad. I don't know why they do this.
The main headline is Ultimate is going up $3.
Mm-hmm.
That's the main headline.
In September.
Man, that sucks.
I'm not gonna lie, like after this Xbox 360 sale, I'm just gonna buy a bunch of Game Pass Ultimate codes and I'm just gonna stack them.
Yep.
Like, that's exactly what they want.
Just so I don't have to deal with this bullshit.
Yeah, that's kind of what they've always wanted, is for people just to go to Game Pass Ultimate. It gets them the most money, and they don't have to offer all that much more. Because realistically, for Ultimate, from console, all they're offering is, oh, you can also play half of these exact same games on your PC, which doesn't cost them anything. So of course they want you to go to that.
Yeah.
I get it from a business decision. I get it. It doesn't look good at all.
And they just want everyone on Ultimate. That's that's their end game, is to get everybody on Ultimate.
Yeah.
And it's then jack totally the price of that up to $25 a month.
yeah, and then they'll increase it more when they think they can. And they'll keep doing that because it's, you know, just permanent forever money for
them.
It's
corporate greed, and every company does it. I think my biggest issue is that they don't offer a yearly discount for Ultimate.
Yeah,
that annoys me.
Yeah.
Like,
we can buy it 3 months at a time, and you can get them on sale from time to time.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
We give PlayStation Plus shit, but their premium tier has a yearly option. It's a good discount.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of PlayStation Plus, their game catalog for July 16th was announced, and it makes Xbox's price increase look even worse, because it's a pretty solid month. They're getting Remnant 2.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Crisis Core, Final Fantasy VII Reunion.
Damn. Nice. Okay.
Mountain Blade 2 Bannerlord.
Mm-hmm.
Jackbox Party Pack 9.
Nice.
Pathfinder Wrath of the Righteous.
Awesome.
Yeah.
No More Heroes 3.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Travis Strikes Again, No More Heroes Complete Edition.
Nice. Damn.
Deadcraft.
I don't know that game.
Yeah, I don't know that one either.
Yeah.
Sounds cool.
Then Steep.
Mm.
The snowboarding Ubisoft mm-hmm. game.
Ooh, I bet that's probably a fun game.
Yeah. And then we usually shit on the premium editions. No, they got a good lineup. Not a huge batch of games, but it's the usual three retro games, but they're good ones. First off, Job Simulator for PSVR 2.
Okay.
So if you have VR 2, you get Job Sim.
My kids are a big fan of that. They got to play that at some VR lounge at a kid's birthday party. And yeah, it's just you. I mean, it's exactly as it sounds. You're simulating different jobs, and like they got to be a chef, and I forget what the other one was, but yeah. So if you got kids, that's a great pickup.
Okay.
In case you cared. And
the retro games for PS2, they have Summoner, which is interesting, but the fact that they're adding new PS2 games, really cool. And then from PSP, they have Ratchet and Clank Size Matters.
Nice.
And Jeanne d'Arc.
Hmm.
Which I don't know that game. The tactical strategy Joan of Arc game.
Yep.
That sounds cool.
It's shocking that it's on PS5 now. So mm-hmm. I kind of... That one's making me kind of miss it. Because that's a cool game. Some more cool games. Nintendo Switch Online. They just announced 3 new games for the Game Boy Advance. They're active now. And they are all imports. And they are all Starfy games. The Densetsu no Starfy series 1, 2, and 3. They're platformers where you play as a starfish. And they're cute as hell.
Okay, that's weird.
Yeah. We got one in the US, I believe, on the DS.
Huh.
Legendary Starfy.
Interesting, okay.
Some sad news. It is being reported that Piranha Bytes has been closed down at the end of June by Embracer. They were known for Gothic Risen in the Elix game.
Well, that's a shame. I liked Elix too.
I am really bummed about that. I loved Piranha Bytes. I loved Risen. I loved the Elix games. I loved Gothic. Still sad Risen 3 isn't playable on Series X and S.
Yeah, 'tis a shame.
Speaking of Embracer, they recently secured a new 600 million euro revolving credit facility.
Okay.
Which means that they could borrow up to 600 million, and if they pay any of it back, they get to borrow more.
All right.
Yeah.
Why is it really rich places are able to do shit like this when they
I don't know.
Fail so spectacularly?
Embracer is failing upward, it seems.
Yeah.
So.
Man, someone just needs to make something like that for me. I could fall upwards with that shit. With that kind of money, I could be the most incompetent fuck on the planet, and I'd still somehow manage to fall upwards with that much money. Fucking hell. They're lucky. God.
I was waiting for Jacob to chime in with, "You are the most incompetent fuck on the planet."
Oh, no, I'm actually working on my news item for later, so.
Oh.
And that would also be under the belief that he doesn't think he's the most incompetent fuck on the planet.
That is fair.
You know, I gotta keep my rep, you know.
Exactly.
City Skylines 2 console release has been delayed indefinitely. Yeah.
Can't get us to stop killing landlords.
Speaking of delays, Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League Season 2, which was set to go live this week, was delayed to July 25th.
Well, damn.
You know, got to get everyone to be more excited.
Yeah. All 13 players are bummed. Warhammer 40K Space Marine 2 has gone gold, which I am excited about. I am so thrilled for this game, and I am beyond excited that I have a collector edition waiting for me whenever it releases.
Very nice.
Can't wait. Gonna be good. Double Dragon Revive was announced by Arc System Works and Yuke's for 2025 release on PC, PlayStation, and Xbox.
Ooh. Interesting.
Gameplay looks good, but not amazing. It's early. It's a year away. I'm sure it's going to get polished up. But it's a beat-em-up. It's about the gameplay, not the visuals.
Very
as long
true.
As it plays well, that's all I care about. Last bit of news.
It has the double dragons in it. That's what I care about.
Yep. They're going to, like, punch people.
Yeah.
Last bit of news I have. Terraria has crossed 58.7 million units sold to date, with nearly 32 million of those on PC alone.
Damn. Nice.
Wow. So a lot of people playing Terraria.
Yeah.
Yeah. Aki, what kind of news do you have?
I have Greedfall 2 news. It has a release date, yo. And it's in September, and I can't wait. It's on September 24th, and I can't wait, and I want it, and we need to get that for review. So I'm going to be requesting that later.
You brought it up on
later.
The show. You're at the back of the line.
Of course I brought it up on the show. It was my news, fucker. So, cool. Yeah, I can't wait.
You brought up the review request on the show. It's the new rule. If you bring it up on the show, you're at the back of the line.
I didn't request it. I said
you
I
literally just did.
Yeah,
no, I said really I plan did. To. I didn't say, "Hey, can you go get that for me?" I said I plan to. There's a difference.
So what you're just going to. So you're just going to review it, even if Joe tells you not to.
Probably.
I mean, I've done that.
If we end up not getting it, I will probably end up buying. Oh, if I loved the first
but that
game.
Would cut into your Gunpla budget.
Yes, yes, it would. It
Joe,
very much
the,
would, but it would be
the
worth
humane
it.
Thing.
I've spent so much on Gunpla this month.
Oh, Jesus. What other news?
That was it for me.
All right,
I'm not a news person.
All right.
Bree, what other news do you have?
So, Capcom announced they'll no longer be doing content updates for Exoprimal after only a year of being live.
Jeez.
Did Docker. We talk about that last week?
I don't know. I don't think so.
I don't think
so. We did.
Okay, I think it. Whatever. No, it was a different game that we talked about that had dinosaurs in it. I just don't remember what it was.
Yeah. Rogue Company updated their game to remove Dr. Disrespect skins and are refunding players with in-game currency called Rogue Bucks.
Yay.
This doesn't shock me.
Yeah. And then good news, Phasmophobia delays may finally be over and they're looking at a Halloween release on consoles, on Xbox specifically.
Yeah. What is it?
Didn't we hear that last year?
Yeah.
I think
well,
so. Yeah.
It was supposed to be out last year. Well, they're saying that they're done. They're getting there. They're going to be able to release it this Halloween. And then my other happy game news, Planet Coaster 2 announced, for fall, and they're going to have water attractions, and it looks really cool. Yeah.
Very cool. Jacob, news, what do you got?
So, I have a ton of Disney Dreamlight Valley news.
Christ.
So, yeah.
I'm checking out for a bit.
Shut up. Anyway, so Disney asked us to do a survey on the future of the game. And was asking a bunch of questions as to, like, you know, how do you want the future Star Pass to go? Like, do you want it done after the DLC drops? Do you, like, blah, blah, blah. All right. Who gives a crap about that? Let's get to the actual meat of the thing, where they were asking, would you like certain items from different, different Disney properties included? Now, they've asked this question before. And the big deal with this one is that they've seemingly dropped Marvel from that list. They had mentioned before, like, oh, would you like to see Marvel characters or perhaps like Captain America t-shirts, nowhere to be found in this survey. So apparently they're just not going to consider Marvel. However, Star Wars is still on the list. And the one that's completely out of left field, the Muppets.
Oh my goodness. That would be so cool.
So you might be able to get, well, I mean, cue the Kermit. Yay! reaction on that. So you might be able to get Muppets clothing or outfits, that kind of stuff. And then there was a lot of standard stuff. Some of it surprising, like Emperor's New Groove was on there. 101 Dalmatians. That I don't think that's ever been brought up before. Robin Hood was also brought up, and Zootopia. And they went pretty hard on Zootopia. And then they asked, what characters would you like to see added? Which, again, they've asked us before, and there were a bunch of them that have been asked before previously. However, again, stuff's coming out of left field. So I'm going to go down the whole damn list of who they asked us about.
No, you're not going down the entire
list. Oh, I am going down the entire list. Shut up, Joe.
Giving a shout out to Jordan, who just subbed for the 7th month. Thank you for the sub. Enjoy the kitty cat emotes and all the other fun emotes. Thank you for your support. Please, Jacob, we are tight for time tonight. We don't need the entire list. Give us the highlights.
Yeah, we do. All right.
I swear to God, I'll edit out the whole fucking thing if you do.
Dude, it is not like, that crazy of a list, especially if you stop interrupting me. All right. So the craziest ones on the list, Kim Possible, Winnie the Pooh, Tigger, Randall from Monsters, Inc., which I would like to point out, I freaking predicted. Because in the Monsters, Inc. realm, you can actually make up the coffee orders for the different monsters, and Randall's was there. Anyway, so Wreck-It Ralph shows up once again, which is not a big surprise, because he shows up in early art and video for it. Jack Sparrow also shows up once again. Kermit, Miss Piggy, both of them are on this list. Again, with the whole Muppets thing. Grogu from Star Wars, aka Baby Yoda. And it's interesting to note, Grogu was literally the only Star Wars character that got brought up. So, Shere Khan, Baloo, and Mowgli from Jungle Book are in there. Mad Hatter, the Queen of Hearts, and Alice from Alice in Wonderland.
I want Baloo from Tailspin instead.
Honestly, I would not be surprised if they make an outfit for him. Like, I'm sure that they would make a bunch of Tailspin stuff. And then also we have a bunch of Aladdin stuff, such as Aladdin and Jasmine. No big surprise seeing as Jafar shows up in the current DLC. But the big one with this is Genie was also listed. So I don't know if they're going to work out something with Robin Williams' estate for that. But yeah, so there's that. And I Joe, mean,
he
that
wasn't
is,
the only voice for.
Yeah,
Genie. But it's true. But seeing as how many other games have honored Robin Williams in the past, I would be very surprised if they didn't at least do something related to him.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, and so with that, Joe, I will keep that as the short list. Actually, no, I lied. Maid Marian, Little John, and Robin Hood from Robin Hood. Oh my God, and I didn't even mention the really fucking wacky one. Lightning McQueen and Mater. I don't know how that's going to work. No, like I legitimately don't know how that's going to work. Because they are actual sized cars, and the game does not fit stuff that size. They already have a big enough issue with like Sully and Maui fitting in Scrooge's store and some of the caves. I don't know how they do Lightning McQueen. So I do
find out.
I do have some theories, but of course we're pressed for time, so I won't discuss them this time. Tune in next week for Jacob's Disney Dreamlight Valley theories.
I'm not getting a theme song made for that.
All right. I'll beg somebody else.
What other news you got?
That's it. I was really just going to go down the whole list, but then you're like, don't go down the whole list. So
you're the worst.
You're the worst.
All right. We got a bunch of games to talk about tonight. Should we dive into reviews?
Let's do it.
Sure. Let's do this.
All right. Let's start off with Parkitect Deluxe Edition, developed by Texel Raptor, published by Blitworks, released July 3rd on Xbox One, Series X and S, PS4, PS5 for $29.99. Build and manage your own amusement park in this complete tycoon full of content, a modern take on old school simulation games. Find the perfect balance between functionality, design, and fun. Bree, tell us about Parkitect Deluxe Edition.
So this was first recommended to me sometime last year on Steam, and I'm happy to see it on consoles where I spend most of my time playing. This version comes automatically with a DLC included, so you get Dooms and Blooms, Taste of Adventure Parks right from the start.
Very nice.
There are tons of attraction types and easily like 100 hours of gameplay. First thing I delved into was the settings. You can set things to the units to metrical or imperial. You can change how often things autosave. It has a colorblind mode, which is really nice. As this is a console edition, want to talk about controls. Movement controls are pretty intuitive. You move with the left stick, rotate and zoom with the right stick. The main building controls are on radial. You can bring up with Y. They were very easy to get to with good icons. You can hit a bumper and you have a whole other radial to go through to switch to your management for things like finances and guest management. As long as the building tools are open, any of the building tools, you can destroy a single object just by hitting X, hovering over the item, which is really nice. There's not an undo button, which is unfortunate, but there are lots of options for terraforming, height adjustments, cloning, destroying things. It's got a lot of good controls, very easy to use. The campaign starts you off with a tutorial called the Loopy Lagoon. The stakes are low and the park already exists for you to play with and maintain it. Like other games of this type, you can adjust prices on food and rides individually and charge fees at the gate. And there are 36 scenarios to work your way through.
Oh.
In the campaign. The tutorial was pretty straightforward. The text was small and a lot to read. I had to save and exit without doing the whole tutorial. And when I came back to the list of things to try to learn to do, it was gone. And I just had the park and no tech tips or goals to go through anymore. And I'd only gotten about halfway through, so I had to start the tutorial over. And I'm not the only one that happened to. But I had some fun messing around with numbers and playing with things before I restarted the tutorial and got through some stuff on my own where I wasn't worried about failing. So that was nice. If the campaign is not for you and you were really interested in the sandbox mode, you have some blank templates to start with starter themes like Western, spooky, fantasy, and sci-fi. I, of course, went with a spooky park. But you do unlock different sandbox mode areas through the campaign scenarios. So it's a good idea to play at least the tutorial and understand how things go and maybe do one or two campaign scenarios so that you can really go through sandbox and make your dream park. I thought the coaster controls were really easy to work with, good variety, pretty easy to navigate all that. One of the things that really sets this game apart, though, is the backstage and employee management concepts. Like employee paths, you can build a backstage infrastructure like paths to make handlers deliver goods faster to your stores. And as someone who's worked for theme parks and done the whole backstage thing, I really appreciate that layer to the park building experience. The idea that seeing staff different, backstage things breaks immersion for guests. And so this game has a way of tracking all that, and you can easily hide things underground. You can hide things behind landscape, flowers, fences, all sorts of things to help keep your guests happy and keep them, in the park experience. You can easily and visually assign locations for deliveries to stores, set up transportation that doesn't get in the way of your guests. It's a really nice layer to the game. When you go down to a shop or to buy a shop and put it down, it'll tell you things like how many you already have in the park, which was really helpful when I looked and realized, hey, I only have one bathroom in my park. That's not good.
Lines like Woodstock.
Yeah, but also you don't want to be wasting money on, say, a ride you already have one of. We don't need five carousel rides. We just need one. We don't necessarily need five burger shops. We need, two burger shops and a soda shop. So that was helpful. Another tool I liked was the visualizers. It's a set of filters that allows you to see things like trash or how many people are unhappy and why they're unhappy. There are constant pop-up events like influencer covered your park and a nearby park is closing, and different events that are going on that help you make decisions about pricing options or things you can build real fast. Like maybe a busload of people is going to be there and they like low intensity rides because they have a lot of, small kids. So you can really quickly throw up a carousel ride and you're going to keep those park guests in your park and get some quick cash. So you have several speeds to the game. You can even pause time to think about your options and do your builds. There's a day-night cycle. You can change the weather. The day-night cycle changes and the weather isn't beautiful all the time. I can't even read my own notes. Let's see. When a ride breaks, you have to have techs available. You have to hire, handlers. You have to hire janitors, all those things. Cool thing though, you actually watch the people get stuck on the ride and they don't just like get off because the ride's closed. Your people get stuck, which means they're not spending money in your park, which is bad. So you want to have techs available. You can ban people individually from your park if you catch them like vandalizing things, or you just feel bad. Like you're just like, I don't like this guy. He looks sad and he's dragging people down. I'm gonna ban him from the park. Yeah, no, only smiles in my park. Yeah, you can totally just ban people.
That's pretty cool.
you can click on individual people and see all the things about them, their stats, how much money's in their pocket, what sort of things they're looking for. Or like I said, you can use those big filters and see hot spots of people and what they want. There are a few achievements for popping balloons. And for popping the balloons in your guests' hands specifically. And I felt really bad. there was this one guy who was really sad, but he had a balloon. And he was one of the first people I found with a balloon to pop. And I was like, well, I need this achievement. Sorry, buddy.
And then you banned him.
No, I didn't. I didn't ban him. But I probably should have. I hadn't figured out banning yet. But
it's probably for the best. Otherwise, you would have given him a villain story.
I know, right? But yeah, the achievements are called Globophobia because that's the name for the fear of balloons. some of the not great stuff. The text was a little small. I eventually figured out that I could use the UI interface. I could set it to large, but it was still kind of small in some cases on the main screen. It was better inside the park levels themselves or the campaign levels. So it was a little challenging to read through the tutorial or see some of the status pop-ups easily. That was a challenge at first. Once in a while, I got stuck on the load screen and had to restart the game. So that was a little...
Fun.
Yeah, but it happened like once or twice, and it's not a big deal for me personally. But yeah, so if you really like the management side of park management sims, like this game is very detailed. Compared to games like Planet Coaster or Park Beyond, it's not the highest res graphics. You can't necessarily like click into the ride and experience it from the view of the person riding the coaster. It doesn't have those sorts of aspects to it, but the game works beautifully. It has tons of customization detail options. I mean, it is every little tile, every little thing has the ability to click on it and manage it and change it and customize like everything. Every little person, every little thing. It's so detailed.
Well, it clocks in at $29.99. What are your thoughts on Parkitect Deluxe Edition?
If you like park simulators with an emphasis on management, it is a buy it.
Very good. All right, next up, Hamster Playground, developed by Mass Creation, published by We Dig Games, released July 11th on Xbox One, Series X and S, is a free-to-play game with DLC. House packs cost $4.99, activity packs run $2.99, and costume packs run 99 cents. All aboard the hamster train, prepare for cuteness overload, relentless training, and fierce rivalry as you and your hamsters take on challenges while traversing the maze and riding a skateboard, with more modes coming soon. Be the first to cross the finish line and earn rewards and yummy treats. Aki and Jacob, both of you played this. Aki, how about you start off? What is Hamster Playground?
Okay, in this game, you have hamsters and you tell them what to do, basically. They have their own little house here, basically, that they sit in. And there's a few different sections for it. So one section is basically a bathroom, and it has an area for them to go potty or and to take a shower. And then there's the feeding room, which has the food and water bowls. And then there's the play and sleep room, then the training room, and then the work room. And their work really is they just sit there for a while and lose stats while they fiddle with stuff to make money, basically, for you. Throughout this game, you are basically sending them to their little gym so they can work out. There's a few different machines, and each one raises different stats. They'll also lower other stats if you're not careful. And you can get up to, I think it's level 80 for your hamster, which means you can get a lot of different stats, but you can't max all of them out. And yeah, you take that hamster and you put it into different types of races. There's four different types of races, I think. There's a maze, which uses a variety of different skills that you are training in the gym. Then there's a skateboard one, which only utilizes dexterity. There's a eating contest, which I think also only uses dexterity. And then there's, I don't remember what the last one is. There might actually be five. I can't remember
there's
anymore.
There's a beware the cat and a vehicle pool as well.
I don't know if I've played either of those.
We have to mention the maze is the only one included in the base game. The other games are part of the paid DLC. So it starts off with just the maze. The awesome people at We Dig Games were cool enough to hook us up with some level packs as well, so that we were able to check out a lot more of the game for the review. But those other activity packs are sold separately.
Okay, I was gonna say I did get to play those two activities that Aki seems to have missed. The cat one is just kind of like red light, green light, that kind of game. And if you're still moving when it's red light, your guy gets pushed back a little bit.
I remember that. I did play that one.
Yeah, and the vehicle pull is exactly as it sounds. It's a vehicle pull, and you just have to make sure that you're landing on the correct color at the time. Like, you're pushing the button to match up with it.
I assume that one's a strength-based one.
Yeah. I mean, both of them are fine. Something else to do.
The one that I enjoyed the most, I enjoyed really two of them. I enjoyed the skateboarding one, which is kind of somewhat difficult, and I really like the maze ones. I think the maze ones are really fun. I don't like the eating one.
The eating one was weird, and it took me a few tries to like get it right.
Yeah, basically for the eating one, it shows you a picture, and you have to match it, and there's four other pictures, but this thing is moving through them. So you have to click a button in order to select that one while it's going through. And if you miss it, you have to wait for it to cycle all the way to the end and then go right back to the beginning. It's very irritating.
It is, but there is a pattern to it too, though, that I picked up. Or at least, like, I'm just good at pattern recognition. But it was just essentially, like, what I would do is I would just look at the very top part of the picture and then just match that. like I wouldn't even like worry about like everything else that was on the card. Just look at the like the top half of it. And that's
I don't think you actually need the top and bottom. I think you just need one or the other, but getting both, I guess gives you more points or something.
I wasn't even looking at the whole card. The one that you're supposed to match against. I was just looking at the top half of it and then just going from that.
Okay. I kept pausing the game because you can do that if you're at least if you're playing against the PCs.
Oh, that's cheater.
Cheater. I don't give a shit.
I'm not gonna lie. I really like the maze as well. I was a big fan too of the avoid the cat or thing or whatever the red light, green light, whatever the heck it was called. Mostly just because I came off of playing a ton of that with the Gigantosaurus game. So I was already primed for that game, and I'm just like, I'm doing really well.
Also, I guess I should point out everything you do also goes back to their it gives you some little seeds, which are what you use your upgrade machines. It gives you some gold, a very small amount of it, which is used to buy new items, and some blue things that I don't remember what they're supposed to be, but they also allow you to buy different versions of items you have. Like, they can in your sleeping and playroom, you can click different pieces in there of that room, and it'll pop up a little menu that will allow you to edit that piece, and so you can buy other pieces to replace that one, and those blue things are used for that. There's also paint points, basically, that you can get that allow you to change the color of some things as well, because you have to buy different colors, and you have to rebuy them if you want to switch it back, by the way. So, fun. All while doing this...
Oh, we should probably bring up, Jacob, I know you have a little bit of a gripe with the game in terms of the tutorial and how easy it is to have that messed up.
So I mean, like, a lot of the kids games that we get, I let my kids play them too, and sometimes they come on the show. And so with Hamster Playground, I was like, oh yeah, like, go at it, because my kids are also big fans of Hamtaro, the hamster anime show that was out years ago. If you ever want to see my youngest lose his shit, just throw on the theme song, and he is just like, yes, this is mine. Why is this not on TV anymore?
It had a good opening.
Oh, it had a great theme song. Anywho, so the tutorial, it is entirely too easy to skip through all of the text boxes that explain everything. And unlike some tutorials where it's very limited in what you're allowed to do, as in, like, it won't let you spend X currency above like a certain amount, because you are only supposed to do this once and you are never supposed to be able to do it again until the tutorial ends. Well, this one isn't built like that. And so my kids blew all of the coins, all of the screws, all of because they were just repairing the crap over and over again, and they were feeding the hamster over and over again. And so they get to it, and it's like, there isn't so I was just like, all right, guys, well, I'm going to go take a nap. I'm going to be up in an hour. Tell me how it is. And I come downstairs and they're like, oh yeah, we stopped playing that. It's really not that fun. Blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, really? Cause it seemed like there was a lot to do. And they're like, yeah, we can't figure there's really just not that much to do, which I'm like, we were given all this crap. Did you do the races? And they're like, no, we can't do anything in here. And I'm like, something's up. And I kept messaging Joe, and I'm just like, because I sat down and played their game and I'm trying to figure it out, and I can't figure out why there's no screws. Why can't I upgrade anything? Why can't I do this? And I'm messaging Joe at 3 AM being like, this game sucks. I hate this game. What the hell is wrong with this game? And he's like, did you try nuking it and just starting up your own thing? And I was like, fine, I'll go do that. And so I played through the whole tutorial myself. And if you follow the instructions, like, obviously you can get through. I had no problem. Joe had no problem. But the thing is, the tutorial also just lets you, just lets you blow through everything. Like, it's an open world. It's an open world tutorial. And so if you aren't careful,
it's very easy to skip the tutorial as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. That too. And so, I mean, like, I'm having a blast with the game, but if you don't pay attention, you are going to have a bad time. Because nothing works, theoretically.
Also, as with what the kid said, there also isn't a lot to do. Because, again, all the stuff we stated, that's really all there is to do. Like, if you play one of the skateboard games, it'll change the layout a little bit, but it's still the same game. Nothing has changed. It's the same for all of them except for the maze. The maze can have completely different layouts and stuff, and it uses multiple skills, but all the others use one skill, and they don't really change all that much. It might be like,
but then you can start adding in other hamsters and get them leveled up and all that kind of stuff. I mean, I don't know. I think that there's, like, it's a good, like, pick up, put down. Like,
very much so, yeah.
Casual game for in this regard. And I think there's plenty to do in terms of it being a casual game, but this isn't winning game of the year. And frankly, I don't
think they're trying to.
No.
I it was a joke. Jerk. Anyway. But what I was gonna say is, like, the base game, the free version of this, like, you really need all those other activities to make it worthwhile playing. And so it's just, if you want anything out of this, you will have to pony up the money just to get those other activities. Like,
well, let's talk pricing on everything. The game is a free to play game. Should people check it out just in general?
Yeah. Yes. I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. It's fine.
It has a lot of time that you're going to spend into it. You're supposed to level the house, as it's called, up to level 100 and stuff, and that takes a while. And you have all the weekly and monthly stuff, because it has little missions you can do that you can run through that get refreshed every, like, 30 minutes for weeklies, and I think it's, like, an hour or two for the monthly ones. And they have their own little tracks to go through. So, yeah, you have plenty to do, even in just the base game. So, yeah, totally.
All right, and then they have house packs. I don't believe you guys got any of the house packs, but they include new items, basically themed items for your home. They include new jobs to do, new quests. Basically, they're kind of like mini expansion packs with customization items. They're $4.99. You think any of those might be worth picking up?
I say if you like the base game, if you play that and you're like, this is really, I like this, it's fun, then yes, totally. Otherwise, obviously no, because it's not going to really improve anything.
I'm in agreement on that.
All right, the activity packs are $2.99. Those are, like, the skateboarding game, the red light, green light game. Those are $2.99 each. Do you think those are worth picking up?
Yes, it's honestly, the activity packs are what are needed to make this. I don't want to say, like, it's what's needed to make it the complete game experience, because, of course. But, like, in all, like, the free-to-play version is very much a skeleton of the game. You really do need the activity packs. And so I would recommend, if you're interested in this, you might as well spring for the activity packs as well.
Yeah. And then they have some skin packs available that are basically just new costumes for the rodents. Those are $1 each. Do you think those are
horse armor?
Basically, yeah.
Yeah. Do you like the game? If so, do you want to hand them more money? If so, sure.
That's the thing. Like, if you care, like, if you discovered this is your jam, then, and you care about dressing up your hamsters, then by all means, go for it. I I don't really care that much about how my hamsters look. So I didn't like, I didn't need them to be in cute hats and jackets and stuff. So I don't view it as necessary, but I'm also not knocking it either.
Yeah.
It's a personal choice.
I will make one caveat. I don't think it's really necessary to buy the one of the activity packs. The eating one. It's a pain in the ass. I did not enjoy that one. That is my least favorite of all the missions, so I say you can skip that one. The others they're fine.
Alright. Sounds good. Moving on. Next game, True Colors, A Date with Deception, developed by Borealis and East Asia Soft. Published by East Asia Soft, released July 10th, Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5, for $13.99. When three new hires join the office, love is in the air. Take the role of a gender-neutral protagonist that represents every player and make key decisions about work, life, and love to guide the story's development. Get to know your coworkers, go on dates, and discover what innermost secrets they could be hiding. Jacob and Bree, both of you played this. Jacob, how about you start off? What is True Colors?
So first off, it should be noted that there is a trigger warning for this game. It does have subject matter of mental health, sexual exploitation, murder, and just general violence against people. So understand that you're getting into a pretty heavy subject with this.
And it is M-rated, so.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I kind of forgot that. And I also completely forgot everything about what I had read, all the description of that, because I think I had requested this almost a month ago. The game starts up and it has it shows the different characters, and it's what the heck was the message? It was something there is a secret hiding among all of them, and trying to make it look spoopy kind of stuff. And I was like, oh, right, this is just some romance thing. And it's, you start off in the office and you are presented with someone who identifies as a woman, someone who identifies as a man, and you have a non-binary potential romantic person. I chose the non-binary one first because I was like, all right, let's see where the story goes.
Correct answer.
I'm sorry, what?
I said that's the correct answer.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's just, all right, let's see where it goes. The text of it is gushing about this non-binary person on a level of Star Trek Discovery. And it's just and I'm not going to lie, part of it was interesting because it was some of it was stuff I hadn't thought about, to be honest. And I was just okay, that makes sense. But the character is just they are laying it on thick about how much they admire and love and everything that this non-binary person is doing. And they are it's almost on inspiration porn level. And then you go on a date and then everything goes to hell because you are suddenly Patrick Bateman of American Psycho, and you are going to murder your date and try to keep them spoilers. You're going to try to keep them as a slave in your thing. And then, there are decisions that can be made throughout all of this. And I don't know that I really like how it handles resolution stuff because the situations are super messed up, yet the romantic relationships, and keep in mind this messed up stuff happens with everybody. It's just I'm reading a self-help book, so now I'm putting away the darkness and all this other kind of stuff, and it's your ass should be locked up. Self-help books is not going to fix this. We're straight up murdering somebody five scenes ago.
Bree, what are your thoughts on this?
It gets pretty twisted. It starts out like I was doing one on stream with Brianna. So doing like female, and it starts out really cute and sweet and innocent. And then the next thing you know, you're in an alley chasing her and trying to put a ball gag on her. And not necessarily in a fun way. Yeah. So it definitely has some twists there around the middle of the story. There is a redemption path for each of them. I'll be honest, I sped through Malik's, so I didn't really like get too much on his. I mostly did Ash and Brianna. It gets twisted.
This sounds like this is a Brook game, like 100%.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie, I was surprised that I managed to get this one, because usually I don't get the visual novel games. And so I was kind of surprised that nobody else had requested this at the time. I'm just like, why is this the one that I get? the writing is pretty messed up, and I'm it wasn't the worst visual novel I've ever played, but I was really not cool with like how everyone's just like, oh yeah, like, you know, you tried to murder, like, this is all shit that should be getting you locked up.
Well, you like, do get you locked up depending on your choices.
Even with the redemption,
there are 12 possible endings in the game. So
yeah. But even with the redemptions, like, it's still like, no, this is not okay. Okay.
I think that one was the one with Malik where I kind of started speeding through the ending because I was like, okay, he should not be just accepting this. Like, that's not okay. So yeah.
Well, it's $14. What do you think?
I thought it was interesting.
Interesting, but I'd say wait for a sale.
Yeah.
I didn't think the writing was really that great, and I really thought I wasn't allowed to make enough choices with it. It was very dialogue heavy.
You say wait for a sale. It's on sale for $11.19. Thoughts?
Wait for a bigger sale.
Do it at the current sale. I mean, it was definitely a twist to something that I was not expecting at first. I was expecting the typical romance thing, and so yeah, I was surprised, and that's a good thing.
All right. Well, let's move on. Next game to talk about: Lifeless Moon. Developed by Stage 2 Studios, published by Serenity Forge, released July 9th on Xbox One, Series X and S, PS4, and PS5 for $12.99. During an expedition to the moon, two astronauts find themselves in a familiar town back on Earth. They soon discover the town is the beginning of a strange and mysterious journey. Bree and Aki, both of you played this. Bree, how about you start us off? What is Lifeless Moon?
Right, so during the Cold War space race, lots of experimentation took place, the boundaries were pushed, people died. Our astronaut makes it to the moon through mysterious circumstances, and things keep changing. We've lost contact with mission control and our partner, and there are, like, phantom astronauts that just appear and disappear. The landscape moves in a way that helps us out of the canyon. Landscape isn't supposed to move. It's the moon. And the next thing we find is a town, not a space station, but a normal town out of like the 60s. And there's a little glowing diner in the middle. First thing I notice is the lack of lesser gravity I would expect out of a jump for a platformer on the moon. About halfway through the game, you get a jetpack, though, which helped me feel like I was on the moon. But there's a reason for that. One of the other things that bothers me is that we don't get to pick things up, but we sort of just walk across them, and then they appear in our notebook or our inventory. So, objects and documents that we need to find have a little light pool over them to set them apart from the dark surroundings, or there'll be a little cutscene to, like, let you know that you can go to an area now that wasn't accessible before, and then you may find things there. We have a mission log book that tells us the recap of what we've experienced and offers objectives. When we find documents from those before us, we can read them in our log. It's a fair amount of reading to get the story. Some of the entries are recaps of voice-acted echoes like audio echoes that happen, but those are kind of few and far between. It's an exploration game where we try to find out what really happened, though the artifacts and documents left behind help us discover that there was this teleportation event, and it appears empty and lifeless. There's a list of the dead, because the town seems to have been ripped out of reality on Earth and transported to the moon. One of the scientists caught up in this mess has got some pretty wild tales, then has left us some notes behind about it. Turns out that one of the research centers and a town in the desert on Earth some years back had a huge explosion, and this appears to be the part that went missing. So they thought it was exploded, but it turns out it just, like, ripped out of reality. As we explore further, we have more and more hallucination events where other people are connecting with us, with our reality, including people who are dead. Our crewmate might, in fact, be living a few minutes in the future from us, and so he gives us some little, like, hints on what to do, where things are a couple of times. But as things get further on, it gets stranger and stranger, and we start to question if we're actually on a moon at all. Maybe we're hallucinating, maybe we're not, but mostly we're just moving through these desolate landscapes, and it's eerie. Each portal leads us deeper into these created worlds as we're following the footsteps of the scientists who came before us. There's like an alien species maybe that's mimicking the memories of humans who came along, but nothing is quite right. Like, they're trying to imitate things, but it just comes out slightly wrong. Like, instead of a whole mammoth, you just find some mammoth tusks. And that's their interpretation of a memory of what Earth things should look like. And it's nightmarish at times. Most of the time we have free movement and exploration in third person. In other cases, we're limited to minimal interactions, like in the diner. You suddenly shift into first person perspective, and you can only touch things if you can find a little green dot to do so. So you can shift between locations inside the diner. It kind of like teleports you over to the bulletin board from the front of the diner, but otherwise you're kind of glued to the ground, which was a really weird choice for me. There are a couple puzzles to solve that you stumble across with some vague clues on how to get through them, mostly just kind of like fiddle around until things work. The chapters are divided by the portals. We find different worlds with different people affected by the original event. There's some cool alien technology, maybe some aliens. There's 6 chapters in the game, and it takes a few hours to complete. There is a chapter select, which is really nice to go back and clean up achievements. The audio side was done well enough to set the mood. Sometimes you get more music for a bit than other times, and it was like eerily quiet in other places. Sometimes the music was a bit too dramatic for longer than it probably should have been. But this was also mostly made by a solo developer, which makes the scope of this pretty impressive. Aki, you have any thoughts?
I thought this was a pretty weird little game. Just the way you interact with the world is very different from a lot of other games. And the environments are all over the place because of the abilities that these people have obtained. And the ending, it left me a little bit confused, to be honest. But I liked it for what it was. It was a nice, quick little game. It does, some of the puzzles tell you, oh, hey, you need to go to this door, but right, then don't specify what the fuck door it is.
Yeah.
So you can sit there and run around for some time, which can be kind of extremely annoying. Thankfully, I didn't have that issue because I had what they call a walkthrough for when I got stuck, because I'm not patient. Overall, it's a pretty easy 1K to get. And it's a nice little fun game. I wasn't half bad. I'm all for it.
Cool. Well, it costs $13. Give us your thoughts.
I mean, I enjoyed the overall vibe of the game, but there were some inconsistencies in the gameplay that were distracting and removed the immersion. But it's a really great price too, so I'm gonna say try it, leaning toward a buy it.
Yeah, I'm gonna say try it as well. If it was a tenner, it would be an easy 100% buy it.
Yeah.
So get it on a slight sale, 100%.
Yeah.
Or, I think it's worth trying.
Sounds good. All right, next up, Cyber Citizen Shockman Zero, developed by Shinyadin, published by Rattlake Games, released July 5th on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5 for $6.99. New mysterious enemy threatens the world once again. Only one hero can save the world, Shockman. Join Bionic heroes Raita and Azuki as they face all kinds of dangerous enemies. To save humanity, is this heroic task too much for you? Then join forces with a friend for some classic style action. Jacob, what is going on in Cyber Citizen Shockman Zero?
Is this too much for you? Well, thankfully, there's also invincibility. Ha ha. So, crap, what's it called? Citizen Cyborg Shockman Zero?
Cyber Citizen Shockman Zero.
Okay, there we go. I'm just going to call it Shockman Zero.
That works.
Anywho, so it's very much in the vein of Mega Man games, and I was a little surprised. I've never heard of this until now. I don't know if these were just never brought over to the U.S. until now or what, but anywho, it's pretty much like, what if Mega Man was actually just a beat-em-up? And while you do have like a charged up Mega Buster kind of weapon that, I mean, you have to like hold down on the attack button for a couple of seconds for it to go off, you're really just punching your enemies or occasionally sweeping the leg if you hold down while you're doing it. And you're facing off against a lot of enemies who, I'm not going to lie, you could tell that, I mean, obviously the devs were fans of Mega Man, because it very much feels like almost like a reimagining of like early Mega Man games with just, a beat 'em up premise instead. Every couple of levels you face off against the boss, AKA Robot Master, which, if anything, the best way to describe how, like, there are regular bosses, which are pretty much just like two characters plus like the Dr. Wily ripoff or homage, however you want to call it. But the other bosses really just function more like sub bosses from the Mega Man games, like weird one off alien robot creatures that you'll see once and then never again. As you progress through, you collect points that your enemies drop, and it helps upgrade your armor suit, and I guess maybe the damage that you do. You look a lot nicer by the end of the game. And also you have more health. But it's a pretty simple, straightforward game. The difficulty at first, I was just like, oh, well, I don't really need invincibility. Okay. And I got through, I don't know, I'd say maybe a solid quarter. And then all of a sudden, just like the difficulty just like ramps up, and like, you're definitely going to be losing your life plenty of times, getting knocked into pits, because of how the enemies function. But thankfully there is invincibility, and there is the ability also to have one shot kills, which, I'm not going to lie, on some of the later bosses, I'd rather just do the one shot. Like, you almost feel like Indiana Jones, Raiders of the Lost Ark, where he shoots the guy in the marketplace. Like, it's just like, I'm not going to lie, some of the bosses are so damn tedious that I was just like, you know what? Forget this. Dead. And so, yeah, like, honestly, it's a pretty fun game. I'm interested in knowing more, so, you know, if you guys want to send me some free codes for the rest of the series, I'm not gonna say no. But yeah, like, I actually like want to check out the rest of this whole series now, because, you know, I like beat 'em ups, I like Mega Man, you know, it's like a Reese's peanut butter cup in a video game. I liked it.
I have a question for you.
Too bad. What's up?
Using the invincibility, does that prevent achievements?
No, ma'am.
okay, I'm adding this to my list too, because
exactly. That was one of the benefits of it too. I was just like, oh, I still pop achievements with invincibility? Nice.
Yeah, I'm not particularly good at beat 'em ups, but they can be kind of fun sometimes. But I love the concept of Mega Man.
I'm not gonna lie, I absolutely love Mega Man games. I am horrendous at them. Like, the only one I'm remotely good at is Mega Man 2, and I can only beat 7 of the 9 bosses of the Robot Masters. I can't make it to Wily's Fortress in literally any of these damn games. But I
like, you do better than I do. Is the Mega Man game I like the most is the little RPG games that were made for the N64.
Oh, Mega Man Legends? Nice.
Yeah, I liked those, where you just getting the run around. That was fun. So yeah,
I had a lot of fun with this. So, you know,
well, hopefully we get to see more of this. $7. What do you think?
If you're a fan, like, as I said, if you're a fan of beat 'em up and Mega Man games, this is a definite buy. Just understand that it is, like, the difficulty does ramp up surprisingly quick after a certain point, and it really does not let up with how tough it is. So you can always cheese it and just use the invincibility. But I had a ton of fun with it. I'd recommend it for $7.99.
It's $6.99.
Well, even better. Radaleka, I would accept giving an extra dollar for this game.
There you go.
Don't tempt them, please.
Next up, Start Running, developed and published by Beepsoft Industries, released July 8th on Steam for $8.99. A horror point-and-click game where choices matter, about trying to do your final marathon training run. Aki, what is Start Running?
Okay. In this, you start as a dude. The very beginning of this, you're talking to, I believe, your brother on the phone. You are planning on doing a marathon. Your brother is not so convinced that you're going to do a marathon. You are a habitual, I'm going to do this, and then not do it type person. So that is what starts this game, is basically you get in an argument because you're upset that he's right. And then you go to sleep, and you wake up in the morning, and everything just feels a little off. You don't know what's going on, and then you try to exit the house, and you're like, well, the fuck is this? The doorknob doesn't exist anymore, and instead of a normal lock, there's some sort of electronic lock shit going on. Now you have to figure out how to get it open. And that starts your entire story of how to get yourself to training. Eventually, as things continue, you start hearing crunching sounds, and you go to different rooms, and suddenly you can't enter them because all of the shit is crushed up like it's been in a compactor, and you can't fit in the room anymore. And you're like, what's going on? I need to get out of here. I need out. We gotta go. Gotta go now. And yeah, the only issue is if you manage to get out of the room without dying, to which there are plenty of deaths you can do, the problems seem to follow you. It seems like you're falling into some sort of psychosis, or you've been brought to some parallel world where your entire life has turned into a death game. Have fun. There are a bunch of different endings for this game, as well as a bunch of bad ends, i.e. you die like a bitch endings. This is a there's a lot of text in this game, when text shows up. Otherwise, it's a lot of point and click stuff, but you have to really figure things out.
One of the features on the Steam page is 40,000 plus words.
Oh, damn. I didn't realize so it was that.
It is very text heavy.
Yeah. When it's not doing text stuff, because when it does text stuff, it's long. You can sit there for like 10, 20 minutes just cycling through the texts.
I've read the rest of the feature. I got to read these features quick. 40,000 plus words. Point and click puzzles with an inventory and movement system. Okay. Yeah. Many deaths and endings depending on choices. Okay.
Okay, we could have just read this instead of anything I had to say then.
The last one, just dog.
Yeah. Yeah, you have a dog throughout this. and you can choose to leave it behind by being a stupid piece of shit, or you can choose to keep it with you because you're a halfway decent fucking human being. But yeah, so everything keeps following you. The world isn't behaving the way it is. There aren't doors where there should be. Some doors are stuck weird for some reason. There's hallways where there shouldn't be any. There's trap doors going further down into places where there shouldn't be. Everything is fucked up, and you start hearing voices and stuff as animals are also trying to flee the area, and everything's just slowly going to shit, and you're just trying still just to get to your training. I would have been like, well, fuck training, I need help. But, you know, hey, you're a very focused individual. What can I say?
People might be focused on the price for this one, which is $8.99. What do you think of that? I don't know how bad of a segue that was. I don't even care right now.
It's pretty bad.
It's $9. Bucks. What do you think of it?
I think it's worth the value. However, I'm very much a visual novel type person. The puzzles are kind of a pain in the ass because it does not hold your hand at all. You really have to think outside the box sometimes to find the answers to some of these things. And this is, it's long. It's multiple acts long.
So it's a hefty game. Fun.
Yeah, it's a big hefty one. You have to find every ending and every bad end for all the achievements. So have fun.
You'll get there.
I'll get there eventually. I haven't even gotten half the bad ends yet. This game is long. It took me like 3 hours, maybe more, just to get out of the fucking your apartment building.
Jeez.
And most of that was stuck on one puzzle.
GG.
Yeah.
All right, yeah. Moving on. Next game, Fit My Cat, developed and published by Red Deer Games, released July 3rd on Xbox One, Series X and S for $9.99. Imagine a cardboard box. Is it shaped to fit 1 to 2 fluffy felines? What about 5? What about 20? Fit My Cat presents you with many cute kitties that all wish to sit where they deem fit. That being said, we're running out of space and we're seriously looking for a cat organizer. If you could spare a moment or two, that would make to make that happen. We would be grateful. Bree, did you make that happen?
I did.
Did you fit the cats?
I fit the cats. This is a game about cats sitting where they fit. You have a whole bunch of cats in just different size cardboard boxes. Cats come in different shapes and sizes, and you have to fit them into the grid in the box. Some cats take up to 1 space or 2 to 9 spaces as rectangles and squares. That's the easy part. But there are also cat shapes like an L-shaped cat with its foot and tail hanging off the ledge. And the goal is to fill all the spaces and use all the cats. Sometimes the box grid has other objects that you need to work around, like beds, yarn balls, cat trees. By level 30, you start getting more and more odd-shaped cats with different profiles, like tails sticking down and the like. Cat rolling around on its back was a weird shape to fit. There are all kinds of shapes and sizes and colors of cats. The higher the levels, the more and varied cats we get to play with. And the art is really cute. The cat pieces are animated slightly with wiggling ears or swaying or wagging their tail. The controller rumbles like purrs when you pick up and place a cat. There are little paw print dusts when you pick up the cat and confetti celebration when you complete your sort. All the cute meowing noises. That's my entire note there. All the cute meowing noises.
Yeah, I watched you play this. Yeah. There's a lot of meowing in this game. It drove my cats insane.
Oh, that's funny.
I loved it.
The word excellent pops up on the screen every time you solve a puzzle. It is very encouraging. The music is very spirited and fun, but I wish there was some variety because I was playing the game straight through, apparently, because I couldn't put it down. The achievements are all cat puns, cute puns. just. And there are 96 levels to love.
Oh.
There's a puzzle game you can take your time with and enjoy, or you can just load up a few puzzles at a time, or you can sit and play through for a few hours, which is totally what I ended up doing.
Speaking of levels, we should mention there are 3 hat packs of additional content for free.
Nice.
Woot.
So yeah, I really enjoyed it. What was the price on it?
$10. What do you think?
Buy it.
Sounds good. All right, one final game to talk about tonight, and we're getting kid-friendly, so Aki, mute your mic. Gigantosaurus Dino Sports, developed by Infinigon, published by Outright Games, released June 28th on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5, and PC for $39.99. On your marks for a roarsome sports party for 1 to 4 dinos. These 8 champ-sized games are enormous fun, but watch out for Giganto. Outright Games provided us with this game because we are ambassadors in their program. And even better, they hooked us up with a copy to give away in chat. So if you are hanging out in chat, make sure to type !enter, and you have a shot at winning this game. Jacob and Bree, both
what you played platform? This.
Xbox. As always.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I didn't know. It might have been a Switch code or something. And then I would have been like, oh, dang, I'll enter in this time myself.
No.
Which would be rude because I could probably just get it for free.
Yeah, you're a wiener. Jacob and Bree, both of you played this. Who wants to start?
Not it.
Jacob, go for it.
I said not it.
But I just got done talking.
Yeah, Jacob, start.
Whatever. So, if you're familiar with the Gigantosaurus series, which I believe is on Disney Plus, it follows the adventures of these 4 little dinosaurs in their valley, and the valley is essentially protected by this huge Gigantosaurus, which, let's not think too hard about this, because in all reality, Gigantosaurus has to eat meat from something, so... But yeah. Anywho, so in this one, the 4 kids are participating in this series of contests, very similar to the Olympics, and it's celebrating Gigantosaurus, and it's stuff like a red light, green light game, like one where you have to do rock climbing. There's a kind of like a snowboarding game. There's a luge game. Like, there's different team.
I hated the luge game.
Oh, really? I like
that. Yeah, I didn't mind it. Getting the achievement is a pain in the butt. The achievement for that one is bad. That was
easy for me.
But
I could not get the hang of the luge game at all. The only reason I won the luge game is because the AI slowed down at the end.
Well, yeah, because there is a kid setting, which I thought was kind of nice.
I like the rhythm game where you're like posing as you do a dive and that was fun.
Honestly, my favorite was the fruit blaster one, because I was not expecting Virtua Cop in my Gigantosaurus game, and so like I'm like, all right, yeah, whatever. Like, let's see what this latest mini game. Oh, all right. So that was a nice surprise for, this is a kid's game, but as an adult, I was like, all right, we're going somewhere with this. But yeah, it's a bunch of mini games. Obviously, the game is aimed at kids. It's fine. Like, there were, like, I don't recall any bugs. I mean, the luge game's a little bit of a pain at points, but it's not like none of the games were, you know, like the directions were bad or anything like that. The AI is fine that you're going up against.
I really appreciated that they let you practice the game before it started.
That is a neat feature on it.
And you can basically practice as much as you wanted through the whole, like, the entire stage, basically.
Yeah.
No, it cuts you off after a while.
Does it?
Yeah.
Because I let it go for quite a while and I watched.
It definitely cuts you off on the Fruit Blaster one. And I forget, there were a couple others that I try, and there's definitely timers on them.
Oh, they have generous timers then.
Yeah, they are. I mean, well, yeah, because they want kids to get the hang of it. And, you know, it should only take us like 5 seconds to figure out the game.
You never know with you, Jacob.
It's true. Yeah, and so, I don't know, like, my kids
Bree, really what are your thoughts on this?
Oh, sorry.
I had fun with the campaign, I guess, the story of the Giganto games. I thought that was really a cute story. I enjoyed the other two characters that are trying to steal the pineapple, and then they do the right thing at the end, and like that part was really cute. Yeah, it was a cute story. They also had like an additional puzzle section, so like it's really good for a younger audience. Like there's a little bit of variety, that's something just manual that they can fiddle with. Because I got to the challenges part for the last achievement, which is, you know, a 200 point achievement. It's a good chunk of the achievements, and I'm struggling with some of the challenges on child mode. So, yeah.
Kick good, scrub.
Yeah, I'm struggling with some of the climbing ones, some of the other ones. I'm trying to think there, because there's some in the challenges that are not in the actual Giganto games. So they have, and they have some varieties of them, which is, you know, like nice to have that extra variety and something to do besides just playing the main story in the sort of party mode with other people or by yourself against the AI, which is mine. But yeah, I had fun with it.
Well, it's a $40 game. What do the two of you think about that?
I mean, I kind of wish that there were a little bit more games to it, like maybe like a 12, you know, like 12 different games to play with it. But my kids have been entertained by it. So if your kids are a fan of Gigantosaurus, or you're looking for a family game aimed at younger kids that you don't have to worry about with like what the content is, honestly, like this is a pretty decent buy.
Yeah.
Older fan, like, you know, achievement hunters will probably want to wait for a sale. But if you've got kids, I think it's worth the 40.
Yeah, and it's something that I would actually, you know, have in my arsenal. I used to be a nanny, and, you know, this is the sort of game that I would like to have with me that I could play with the kids as a reward. So, yeah, definitely.
Very good. All right. I can agree with that. I think it's a fun game. I think the $40 price tag is sufficient. $30 would have been better for this, but yeah. You know, it's a licensed game. You gotta pay for that license somewhere. I think $40 is perfectly acceptable for it. It was cute. I had fun with it. I had a lot more fun with it than I thought I would.
Yeah. So. Well, and it's the sort of thing, like, you know, you've got the sports aspect, which hopefully, you know, as a summer release, is something you can do during the summer, will encourage them to get outside as well. So, yeah. Gives them something else to play with. Yeah.
All right. Well, that is it for this episode. We made it through. Thank you, everyone, for hanging out, being here the whole show, keeping us company.
Yeah, you realize, like, we still have 29 minutes left, so I could definitely list off all of this.
Music for this episode, we're going to play some from the 1UPs. Some fun jazzy music from the 1UPs.
Joe, I'm still here.
I know you're still here, and that's why I'm ignoring you.
You're so cruel.
I know. But we're still kid-friendly, so I have to keep it kid-friendly. Does anyone have any final words to end the show?
Stay cool, my friends.
Oh, no. Where's the list? All right, so my final words... Cogsworth, Tigger, Bo Peep, Winnie the Pooh. Wait, are you still recording?